lower it like this? It's good. So my name is Christine Sakaki Barra, and I've lived in Israel. This year will be the 41st year. And I thought a lot about that 41st year because I can't say it. But because it's 41 years, I decided to look at the life of someone else who had lived in the land of Israel or who had reigned in Israel for 41 years. And I'm going to talk about him and the journey that he took with the Lord. So can we pray and just ask the Holy Spirit to be awesome, because we need him to be awesome. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to speak into our hearts today. We thank you for open ears and open hearts. We ask you, Father God, for everyone that you brought here quite by accident, Lord, let it be a divine appointment. And for those of us who are seeking that right word, Lord, hit the target. Anoint the word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Right before the service, Dawn came up and gave me a scripture that she felt that the Lord had intended for today. And I had to have a chuckle, because it seems like Dawn has become like this in-house prophet at Narki Street. Yes, the interior minister. She just knows how to get the word of the Lord. And she's going back to England this week, and we're going to miss her, because every single prayer meeting she comes with a word from the Lord. And this is the word that she brought me today. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. to fight this army. Early in his reign, a vast and powerful army came against him from Ethiopia. So in humility, Asa sought the Lord, and God acted on his behalf. In humility, he sought the Lord, and God acted on his behalf. This is what it says. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. Help us, O God. We put our trust in you and in your name, and we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are God. Let not man prevail against you. So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa, before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Wow. Now that's the leader. He didn't run off to the inner cabinet and say, what are we going to do, guys? No, he ran to his prayer closet and said, Lord, what are we going to do? He used his hands. He lifted his hands and he pleaded for God to intervene. Are we running to God when we face a crisis? Or are we running to others to tweak their ear and to get their opinion because we're too afraid that God won't hear us? Just go to the prayer closet. Just lift your hands. Just ask him, like Asa did. He was still young. He was humble. He still hadn't become an established leader. But he had learnt one powerful thing. God was bigger than he would ever be. Asa remained humbled and walked in wisdom and spiritual discernment, hungry to continue to hear the Lord's guidance. Now, winning such a significant battle didn't go to his head. You can answer your phone. He recognized it was the Lord that gave him the victory. Again, when approached by a man full of the Spirit of God, much later, his heart was open to receive what the Lord was saying to him. 2 Chronicles 15, verses 1 to 2. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Azariah, the son of Obad, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were on all the inhabitants of the country. And the nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with adversity. Why? Because they didn't seek him. But you, Asa, be strong. Let not your hands be weak, for your work will be rewarded. Wow. Asa really took that to heart. He gathered everybody around him. And he said, we have to dedicate ourselves and our land to the Lord. And they did that, probably right around Shavuot. So for 35 years, Asa saw the hand of God and prayerfully walked in his ways. For 35 years, he was really in tune with the Lord, because he had a habit of going to him every time he was in conflict or had a problem. It's just amazing how sometimes when we get older in the Lord, we begin to rely on our own strength rather than on the Lord for answers. We lean upon our wisdom of years rather than leaning upon the Lord for those answers. And so it happened that Asa, in his 36th year of reign, came up against a brick wall. And he was about to realize that there was another great threat to his kingdom. 2 Chronicles 16:1-3. Then Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as between my father and your father. Behold, I'll send you silver and gold. Go break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me." And so it was that Ben-Hadad went out and did the bidding of Asa and went to war and fought his battle instead of Asa asking the Lord to fight his battle. This was a strategic mistake that Asa made. You would have thought, after 35 years of the successful reign, he would have gone on to automatic pilot when the threat came up, when suddenly something bad was about to happen. You would have thought automatic pilot, go into the prayer closet, seek the Lord, but he didn't. Instead, he went the way of someone whose power had gone to his head, who had built alliances, who wielded power, and all of a sudden he had lost sight of the Lord. Instead of seeking God's deliverance, Asa got clever and figured out a strategic political angle to save himself and to remove himself from harm's way. He removed the threat, but he didn't win God's heart because of it. God was compassionate. He sent a prophet to him, a seer. 2 Chronicles 16:7-8. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand." A little wake-up call from a little man who had the ear of the Lord. He was bold enough to go to Asa and say, "What on earth did you just do?" Well, Asa got really mad. The prophet tells Asa the true secret of his victory with the Ethiopians. And that true secret was his utter reliance upon God. And he said he should not have relied upon another king in another land to defend his kingdom. And he told him, "You will have no rest now to the end of your reign." Asa brought upon the whole kingdom of Judah disaster. And over time, it's quite obvious, something must have happened to Asa's relationship with the Lord. Somewhere along the line,
Asa fell out of touch with God. He got comfortable. He felt secure. And he fell out of touch with the Lord. This is a danger every single one of us can experience. Things could be going well, and we forget how important it is to go to the Lord in prayer, even about the simplest things. There is no shame in going to the Lord in prayer. What a terrible change for Judah, but it was a worse change for Asa. Over time, something happened to him. He grew comfortable in his position. Perhaps he let it affect his judgment. But one thing is clear, very clear about Asa. He took his eyes off the Lord. He lost his humility of heart. And we know that because when he grew sick and he suffered for 2 years with a terrible illness in his feet, he didn't ask people to come and pray for him. Instead, he sought physicians to come, as many as possible, but he did not ask people to pray for him. This is what the scripture says. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. The disease was severe, yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa slept with his fathers, having died in the 41st year of his reign. He did not seek the Lord. This is a wonderful wake-up call to all of us. He was a man who the scripture says he had a good heart, but he got lost somewhere in those last 2 years. Asa's final years should make us realize that any one of us can make the same mistake. We can fall into a false sense of security, get busy with God's work, be busy helping others, and forget to take time to pray, to seek the Lord, and to ask Him to direct our paths. Over the years, Asa had built strong relationships with other strong leaders, and no longer was the fear of the Lord operating in his life. He relied on his own strength and the strength of those who surrounded him. What a contradiction from the young teenager who had taken the throne, who sought only the counsel of the wise and the spiritual before he made any decision. He waited 15 years to make his first big decision. That's how much he walked in the fear of the Lord. At the end of the day, God is always waiting for each of us to seek him afresh. Of course, he's not obliged to answer every prayer just the way we want it, or to give us the answer just the way would suit us. But he has promised us one thing, just as he promised Asa. He promised to support us through the challenges that we face. His word is true, and we can put our trust in him. Going back to the very first scripture, this is what Hanani the seer said to him: "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." He wants to show his support to you. He's eager to show his support to you. So what about the poor man, the seer, who delivered this bold message to Asa? Well, things didn't go too well for him. The scripture tells us that his words enraged Asa. He got furious and he threw this prophet into prison. And not only did he throw the prophet into prison, he probably threw anybody and everybody who said, you know, he was right, because the scripture tells us he threw others into prison too, in a rage. Doesn't it remind you a little bit about King Saul? How when the anointing left him, he began to throw spears at people and have temper tantrums and lose his mind? It's almost like the same thing has happened to Asa. He's lost it. He lost the plot. But at least Hanani, despite the change in the mood of Asa, still had the courage to deliver the word to the king. It must have made an impact on others, because later we hear that his son, Jehu, became a prophet as well. And he became a bolder prophet and a more outspoken prophet than his own father. In fact, he became so outspoken that he actually prophesied to the king of Israel, saying his dynasty would come to an end and that his descendants would be eaten by dogs and birds. Wow. He was probably saying, if my dad could do it, so could I. If my dad could deliver the word of the Lord and end up in prison, I can do it too. Because this is about delivering the word that the Lord has given. Hanani may have been in prison, in a physical prison. His body was physically being held captive, but his heart, it was held captive by the Lord. And he didn't compromise. He didn't hold his peace. He had the courage to speak. And this is where Asa should have been as well. After 35 years of blessing on his reign, he too, his heart, should have been held captive by the Lord. Hanani was at peace when he delivered the word to Asa. His courage definitely had an influence on his son, who stepped out in faith and became even a greater prophet than his father. You know, at Passover, the people of Israel and all those living in the land are called to remember the wonderful hand of the Lord, how God delivered them. And we, even as followers of Jesus, need to remember right now, today, as we enter the first day of Passover, look back and remember what the Lord has done for you. Think about the miracles you've had, the healings you've had, the salvations you've seen, the financial blessing that's come out of heaven, those marvelous things that have just, boom, changed your life forever. We are called to remember, so that we won't grow comfortable and secure in our own works. We are called to lean heavily on Him. Micah chapter 6:8, it says, He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God? Asa, probably I can understand him getting upset and throwing the prophet in prison. He was probably thinking, but wait a minute, I saved Judah. I made a great political move. That was really smart. The enemy's been removed. The threat is gone. What on earth is this prophet talking to me? Why is he talking to me like this? He made a great political move. He gained peace, avoided war, reinforced his strategic alliances, established himself yet again as a great leader. He was smart, brilliant, and probably everybody told him so. And he felt quite chuffed about that until he got the word of the Lord. Asa, he thought, made himself yet again, positioned himself as a strong leader. But only one thing had happened really through all of that. He had forgotten who the true leader was in his life. Who the true source of power was in his life. For 36 years, Asa moved only as he was directed by the Spirit of God. And in his last years, he moved as directed by his own emotions and feelings and wisdom. Asa made a compromise. He lost his entitlement as being called blameless. He punished the messenger and didn't receive the message. But God still loved Asa. He loved him so much, he wanted to remind him yet again how much he needed him. He knew that stubbornness had entered his heart. His money, his reputation, his position, his pride had all made him, turned him into somebody else. So God tried one last maneuver to bring the king back to his knees and his prayer closet and to the heart of the Lord. He became ill. He became full of physical distress. But his stubbornness was so great, he did not call on people of God to come and pray for him. He sought only the flesh, the wisdom of physicians. We read about that in 2 Chronicles. Chapter 16, verse 12. 16, verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. Even when rebuked by God, Asa refused to admit he was wrong. He refused to humble himself. He refused to lift up his hands and say, "I need you. I need you now more than ever." Asa had practiced walking in the ways of the Lord for so many years. But when he compromised, stubbornness entered his heart. He developed a hardness of heart, and he did not go back to the Lord again. He allowed foolishness and pride to control him. He became more bitter and more distant from God. Eventually, he was so embittered and so proud, he could not return to the Lord. It became impossible. And in Hebrews chapter 6, it describes it perfectly. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. We all really need to do a little check now. It's Passover. It's time to remember the goodness of God in our life. It's time to remember the importance of our relationship with the Lord. It's time to remember that when he speaks into your heart about something, don't lean to your own understanding. Lean on the Lord. If you're in a crisis situation, you're at a crossroads, you don't know which way to go, you don't know where the Lord is leading you, you've got a lot of question marks in your life. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's physical problems. Maybe it's spiritual problems. Maybe you haven't heard from the Lord for a while. It's okay. Because his eyes go to and fro throughout the earth. And he will support those who have a heart for him. We all want to have a heart for the Lord, and that's my cry for Passover, that we'd all have the courage to say, Lord, I need you. Let's not become as Asa. Let's not harden our hearts. Let's not let pride or confidence or any other thing come in and replace that passion to seek the Lord. Can we stand? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Father, we lift our hands. We ask you, Father God, draw us closer to you. Help our hearts to be focused on you. Help us at this time of Passover to remember how you delivered each one of us out of sin, out of shame, out of pride, out of selfishness, out of sickness. Father, help us to remember that you are awesome. You are amazing. And Lord, I ask you today for everyone that needs to hear from you. Lord, show yourself mighty. In Jesus' name, amen.